Hello again. This is That You May Grow podcast done here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. My name is Jared Hammond, and I have my co-host here with me, Preston McElyea, and we're excited to be with you again. Thankful for another opportunity to study God's Word and look at these different prominent names that we find in Scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. Thankful for the opportunity. We've been trying to do these recordings kind of get a couple of them done, and then, depending on our schedules, may not be able to do another for another week or two before we record, and that's, I guess, where we find ourselves right now, so we may be a little bit rusty getting back into it, but that's okay.
That's right. It very well could be. That could be the case, but hopefully, you know, maybe it'll go smooth, and we'll just work right through it just as we have the previous ones. And
Well, and I might be a little more nervous, too, because if you're listening through audio, we're trying to start doing some video recording as well. If you happen to find the video, you know it worked. If you don't find the video, it's probably because it didn't work. And so we're working on some troubleshooting there, but I might be a little bit camera shy, so I'm a little more nervous now, too.
Well, and one thing, you know, just before we get into it, for those who have been listening in, we do appreciate you listening to the podcast, and we enjoy the opportunity to study through the text and look at these individuals, and hopefully the things that we are discussing here has some benefit to you. It definitely benefits us as we go mm-hmm. through and prepare for this and discuss it here in this setting. So thankful for it, thankful for the opportunity. But today we're going to look at Noah.
Yeah, Noah is one of those individuals that anyone who has been around Christianity or around the Bible for any amount of time, they most likely are going to know who Noah is.
That's right. It's one of the names that is more prominent in the Old Testament, probably not the most, but you know, it is definitely more mm-hmm. prominent than most, and even from little children all the way up to adults, this is a name that stands out in the Old Testament.
Yeah, absolutely, and there are so many valuable lessons that can be learned. I mean, we can look at everything relating to Noah, you know, probably most importantly from seeing God throughout the entirety of the narrative there, but at the same time, even as we're going to focus our attention today, just looking specifically at Noah, at some of his interactions with his family, how many good application and devotional thoughts there can be just specific to this one man?
There are quite a few. We could probably plan out a few months' worth of Wednesday night devotionals.
Oh, yeah.
Just based on Noah. And, you know, even coming in, you know, to this discussion and talking about Noah, I think it's worthwhile to even mention the generations before him. You think back, and a name that's also probably familiar with most is Enoch. And Enoch is one who was also described as one who walked with God. And, you know, when you think about him being in the one of the fathers before Noah, you have to kind of see this idea, well, you know, my desire to live righteously might have a great impact on those who are going to come mm-hmm. after me. And, you know, we don't know how much that, you know, directly ties to, you know, who Noah was, but I think it does have value, holds value then and holds value still today that we, you know, strive to live a righteous life and it can have a great impact on the generations to come.
Right. It's not always a guarantee that, you know, my righteousness today is going to translate into the righteousness of my children and my grandchildren and so on and so forth. However, there is a good track record, I guess we might say there, of how, you know, beginning to take those steps of faithfulness now helps to encourage and motivate faithfulness in the future generations.
That's right. You know, Enoch, he was one, has stated, you know, he walked with God, and Enoch did not taste death, but rather he was translated mm-hmm. into the spiritual, right? And then Enoch had begot Methuselah, a name that we're also probably familiar with, one who lived the longest of any man or woman on the face of the earth, who also begot Lamech, and then Lamech begot Noah. So that's kind of that, you know, genealogy that ties us to Noah, and it's just interesting when you look back at who Enoch was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll discuss a little bit more about who, as far as some things that could be said about Lamech. And I think it does help us to see a little bit about him as well, but we'll get to that as we work into our next thought.
Yeah, and speaking of that next thought, and really right in line with what you're discussing as far as kind of the righteousness that's able to have the impact on the future mm-hmm. generations, we're going to see that in the life of Noah. But even at the beginning of Noah's life, we find the righteousness of his father, Lamech, there.
That's right. If you look, you know, there in Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 29, it says, "And he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hand because of the ground which the Lord has cursed."
And that's something there that can easily be overlooked and missed. You know, Genesis chapter 5, we look there and see genealogy and just kind of breeze right through. But that's an important detail to recognize because of the connection it brings back to the Garden of Eden.
That's right. You know, in thinking about the fact that Lamech had an understanding of this curse, you know, you have to think, okay, well, if he understood this and he chose this name for Noah, generation by generation, this was something that was being told. Now, you can look at it in the sense that Lamech, it obviously was one who was concerned possibly about righteousness, mm-hmm. it seems. But then as we work a little bit further into Genesis chapter 6, when you start thinking about all these others who seemed to be rejecting everything that God was and what he was doing, you know, for them mm-hmm. throughout all creation, to the point that he decides there's going to be a worldwide flood. So there's these who are accepting what was being passed on by the generations, and then those who were rejecting it just the same.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, to recognize that the specific curse that he's mentioning there in Genesis 5:29 in connection to Noah is that curse on the ground. You know, everything that's going to happen, like you mentioned, regarding the worldwide flood, everything there, and we'll see by the time we reach Genesis chapter 8 that the curse is taken care of, the curse is lifted on the ground, but there's still a more important curse, a more important problem. I think before we started recording, you mentioned that, you know, a plague mm-hmm. that was dealing with mankind, and I know we'll talk more about that, especially once we get to the end of this particular episode, but it is very important to recognize here at the beginning, like you bring out, there was at least some recognition, some understanding of what took place in the garden and the problem that all men were having to face now because of that.
That's right. You know, and just thinking about that, and it's, you know, we, again, to our previous conversations, you know, looking at who Noah was and who some might have thought he was going to mm-hmm. be, even in the name that was given to him, you know, this name as one bringing comfort, you know, it could have easily been thought of, okay, was he some sort of a savior
mm-hmm.
in a sense, right? But we understand we have the entirety of the narrative, and we know that Jesus the Christ is the one who is going to be
right.
the savior of the world, ultimately fixing this plague, sin, right, giving the answer for that, or the cure for mm-hmm. that, whereas Noah was more to this specific time frame.
Right. And, you know, a lot of wonderful things could be mentioned here, and even just as a, you know, a quick devotional or application thought we could think of relating to Noah's name is the importance of what's in our name. You know, we recognize Noah, there's something specific related to how he could comfort them, specific to that curse on the ground. But we look at it today, think about who we are. I mean, yes, our individually given names, there's usually a meaning to those, and that can be interesting to look at. But more importantly, if we're Christians, our name, our identity is to be in Christ. And what we have to consider is whether or not we're living up to that name.
That's right. Even being in the book of Genesis, considering being created in the image of God, are we living up to that image of which mm-hmm. we were created? But moving forward, you know, you think about the life that Noah, and we're fixing to get into more detail about what was going on as far as the world around Noah, right? We've discussed his name and what Lamech, you know, what his viewpoint was, and now we're fixing to look more to the world and what was going on during Noah's time. and some things that are stated about Noah, very, very important things that are stated about him and how he lives separate and apart from the rest of the world around him. You know, when you look at this narrative and look at the world that Noah was living in, there was a whole lot of evil and wickedness going on around him. Now, it must have been some sort of a challenge to be this one man who stands out as this one that is pleasing to God, right? What a great challenge that must have been. But at the same time, knowing that God knows when we are doing the right thing, regardless of how much evil and how much corruption is going on in the world around us, should bring us a lot of comfort.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we think about how easily overshadowed at times it feels like some of our actions or some of our good deeds might be because of the wickedness of others. I mean, thinking about in Genesis chapter 6, the way that the earth is described at that point, Genesis 6 and verse 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then verse 6 is you know, probably one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible. How because of that wickedness, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart.
That should be something that stands out to us and really makes our ears perk up. If there is something that is taking place that grieves God, it should really get our attention. You know, this is the creation which God created, and he has a purpose for this creation. And the creation itself has completely turned against God, it seems. Every thought and imagination going through the mind of man is wickedness continually. Yet you have this man, Noah.
Yeah, Noah stood out, you know, I guess we might say today, against all odds. Everybody else was doing evil. Everybody else is thinking evil. But Noah did not let the thoughts and actions of others affect his thinking and his actions. He was not conformed to the thinking of the world, but instead he kept his mind fixed on the things of God.
That's right. And, you know, when we think about that, our thoughts need to be conformed to the thoughts of God. If we ever think that it needs to be the other way around, we're mistaken, right? It's not God that needs to conform his ways to our ways, but rather we need to conform our ways to God's ways. You know, even as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 5, you know, the Apostle Paul is speaking there and talking about how it is that we need to guard our minds, how it is that we need to pay attention to the things that we're thinking on. Well, you tie that back to Genesis, in every thought and every imagination of man, how it was wicked continually. Well, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 5, we'll go ahead and back up to verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ."
And whenever we're able to do that and bring those thoughts into captivity and fix our minds and focus our actions onto those things of God, well, like Noah, we're going to find favor in God's eyes. And that's a wonderful blessing. We as humans at times worry and we struggle and wonder whether or not we're pleasing other individuals. At times we wonder if our service is pleasing to God. But we can see clearly here from the life of Noah that whenever we are focused and fixed on doing the things of God, New King James says that in Genesis 6 and verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The idea in that is he found favor, and we can find favor as well.
You know, I like how you said that was what his focus was. He was fixed on that. You know, when you think about the favor, when someone finds favor in the sight of God, it's not going to come by happenstance. It's not going to come by sheer luck or anything of that kind of nature, right? If we're going to find favor in the eyes of God, it's going to happen by choice.
Right.
It's going to happen by choices that we make in our life to be that one who stands out regardless of what's going on in the world around us. It's going to be a choice that we make, just the same as Noah. He had a choice to make. And, you know, I don't know, I think at times maybe we read through Genesis and some of these accounts that we look at and maybe don't give enough credit where credit is due, you know, and this would be a great challenge for Noah and his family to stand out like they did in this time. This world that's described there in the early part of chapter 6 is something that's foreign to our minds. It's different because things have changed since then in some senses.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so much wickedness in the world at that time that it grieved God, yet Noah finds favor.
Yeah, and that's had to be such a challenging and difficult thing that really and truly, they were all alone in it. There's nobody else who was willing to do the right thing, evidently. But and for Noah, he made the right choice, as challenging as it may have and must have been, to continue to do the right thing. And that even shows us then another valuable lesson is that doing the right thing is always possible.
That's right. You know, and not only is it possible, regardless of how insignificant your efforts for righteousness may seem, know that God sees them,
mm-hmm.
right? And it is of value to Him. It's important to Him. No matter how insignificant we might think it is, it is very important to God. In doing the right thing, like you say, it's always possible. It's always an option for us. And the result of that, well, you look at some of the things that were said about Noah when it describes what kind of man he actually was. It says that he was a righteous man. He was a blameless man. Also says that he was one who walked with God.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you look at those descriptions there out of verse 9, and his being righteous or just, being perfect, meaning he's blameless in that time, and is walking with God, there's no telling what everybody else at the time thought or said about Noah. Chances are they probably were not considering Noah to be a righteous, a blameless, or a man that walked with God. They're probably looking at him saying, he's that weirdo down the street, and you know, he doesn't come with us to the parties, he doesn't do these things, he doesn't say these things, he's always talking about God, he's always talking about repenting and all of these other types of things. And you know what? Their thoughts aren't recorded about Noah for all of time to see. Instead, it's what God thought, what God saw, what God knew about Noah that's left for us to see.
That's right. Just in my own mind, it's almost like I see Noah the outcast, mm-hmm. right, as it relates to the rest of the world around him. You know, it is interesting that it states that Noah walked with God. Now, think about what we talked about as we first kind of opened this, even looking back to Enoch. Enoch was also one who was said to walk with God. Very interesting statements that are stated about both of these individuals. And of course, Enoch being in the same lineage or a father of, right? So it's just kind of neat that you see that in the text, and it says a lot about both of these individuals, something that carried on from generation to generation, it seems.
And you think about, too, some of the significance that goes into that. If the thought an action of all men at the time was on evil continually, and Noah was a righteous and a blameless man, Noah didn't have anyone else to walk with. The only one who he could walk with and be comfortable was with God. And that's a, you know, a wonderful thing right there to know. There's even a special relationship that can be had in that sense too.
That's right. And you know, I haven't really thought about it before now, but just, you know, as you were saying that, you know, think how important this is in his walk with God at this point, how important that's going to be for the things that are going to transpire in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the time when he is on the ark, just him and these others of his family, in the trust that they had to have in God throughout all of that time, looking at a world that is in this, what we would call just a catastrophic event, right? Almost as if God just kind of shook the earth up a little bit, worldwide flood, and here they are on this ark. Just them and all these animals, and how much trust they had to have in God,
yeah,
know, to remain in that.
That had to be such a challenging thing. If he wasn't one who was already walking with God, there's no reason for him to have the trust in God at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we look in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 7, and the implication of what we find from Hebrews 11 and verse 7 is that the text says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. The implication there, Noah didn't really know what God was saying was about to come. You know, God tells him, I'm going to destroy the world, flood is coming, and Noah's just sitting here saying, may not understand exactly what you mean, but tell me what to do and I'm going to do it.
That's right. You know, in following very specific instruction, he does exactly what it is that God asked of him. Again, did he fully understand it? Not likely. But he was willing to say, okay, well, I'm going to trust him what he has said to me. I'm going to obey his command. I'm going to do exactly as he has asked. And ultimately, it's accounted as faith, faithfulness,
right,
you know, of Noah. And, you know, ties all the way back to who God saw him as when he looked down at the rest of the world. He was this man. He was this righteous man, this one that was different and set apart from all the rest of the world. You know, and it's, I don't know that we could look at it in the exact same sense today, but you look around at the world around us, it's pretty dark, right? It's pretty corrupt. Mm-hmm. There's so much wickedness going on in the world around us. And hopefully, you know, we are these individuals who stand out in the eyes of God.
Right.
Who look different from the rest of the world, who might be seen as that outcast, right, that stranger. Hopefully that's what God sees when he looks down at us. And if he doesn't, we have work that we need to do.
Yeah, right? And we can learn from Noah that the only way we can ultimately get to that point is to truly follow God in all things. You know, we can't pick and choose what we would like to do. Sometimes we might think in our mind that we have a better way, that maybe we think, well, I don't really understand how that could be the case, and so it makes more sense for me to go this other route, to do this other thing, to find another way to be saved, right? All those specific instructions, Genesis 6 beginning in verse 13, what if Noah had chosen a different type of wood? What if Noah had chosen a different design for the ark? You know, rather than building this big box, what if Noah had decided, I'm going to do this big, like, round life raft? You know, it might have looked cool, but then could it have been said, he followed God in all things?
Absolutely not. You know, it is very important to pay attention to the details, and I think even if you kind of tie that to today and how it can apply to us, you know, if we come to Christ with the mindset of, okay, I really like everything that you have to offer, and I really appreciate what you have done, and here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this like you've asked, but this over here and that over there, I don't know if that fits within my plan, right, and what I want to do, so I don't know that I'm going to do that. That's not how it works, right? We can't come to God or come to Christ with our own stipulations or our own, mm-hmm. you know, ideas. We take his word. We take his instruction, we apply it to our lives, and we do exactly as he has asked us to do.
Right, and that is really following him in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we may not always understand it, but we know if God has said it, there's a reason.
That's right.
And if God has said it, then we need to have the attitude like Noah, I'm going to do exactly as he has said.
Right. Yeah, and you see it there in verse 22. It says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did.
And even again in chapter 7, we find in chapter 7 and verse 5 that Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And that's a wonderful thing that could be said of Noah, and hopefully could be said of each of us as well.
That's right. And I know you kind of already hit on it, but, you know, just being able to put our trust in God and his instruction toward us, even when it's not, you know, something that we fully understand. You know, again, you look at some of these things that took place with these names, these prominent names of the Bible. It's hard sometimes for us to really get our mind in the same place that they were, because mm-hmm. some of these things are very foreign to us in our society today. But one thing that stands the same, there was instruction that was given. Didn't fully understand it, likely, everything that he was saying that was going to take place. But he was willing, regardless of anything else that was going on in the world, regardless of what everybody else chose. And like you said, likely, you know, looking at him and saying, who's this guy? What's he doing? This stranger, right? This weirdo. Regardless of all of that, he was willing to commit his life to the commandment of God.
And as a result, even kind of circling back a little bit to where you started us, Jared, because of Noah's faithfulness, he's able to help save his entire family from the destruction that came upon the entire earth.
That's right. Absolutely. you know, and that does, it ties right back to the previous slide about how we live our lives and, you know, what kind of impact that can have on those who are around us. You know, if Noah hadn't been the man who stood out, if Noah hadn't put so much devotion to God, if he wouldn't have, you know, took his instruction and ran with it and upheld every bit of it, what kind of life would that have led, you know, mm-hmm. for those who followed him? And of course, we're going to see there were some problems that followed, but it made a great impact on him and his family and the choices that he made.
Yeah, on the day in Genesis 7, on the day that God called for Noah to come into the ark and he invited him and his family in, it tells us in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. And, you know, when you jump into the New Testament in the book of 1 Peter, it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 how only 8 souls were saved. The only ones who were spared from this destruction were Noah and his family. Why was that the case? Because Noah did as God commanded. Noah did as God had said to do. And as a result, Noah is saved. And his family was able to follow him in that same salvation.
That's right. You know, you look at it today, and you could say, "Hey, don't miss the boat." Right? Mm-hmm. There was a ark that was prepared, an ark that was built. There was this place of safety, and that's exactly where Noah and his family went. Everybody else had that opportunity, but they rejected it. Today, we have an opportunity, not an ark. Right, but we're talking about the body of Christ. We have this location, this place of safety, and we can choose for ourselves to enter in there. And of course, our choices are going to impact those who are around us. But just the same, there is still a place of safety. God still has a plan, and there is salvation that can be had through Christ Jesus.
Yeah, and as you know, the unique role that you and I have in our homes, and any other men who may be listening, as men, as husbands, as fathers. There's a unique responsibility that we share, and that is that we are to help guide and lead our families, ultimately to bring them back to God, to point them to God. And Noah shows a wonderful example of what that looked like. In his life, he was righteous, he's blameless, he walked with God himself. And as a result, you know, to this point, we see it seems like his family is following him in that. And that's a, you know, a powerful lesson for us as men especially to consider.
That's right. You know, and one other high note that we should hit as far as Noah, and I know there's one more thing that we're going to mention after this. It's kind of a downer at the end of all of this discussion. But one more thing that really stands out about Noah is once they did come off of the ark, he immediately turns and praises God mm-hmm. for their deliverance, right? And we see that. In Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord God smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said to his said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done.'"
And earlier, you know, of course, we see, like you mentioned, the praise that's here for God, that whenever there are these wonderful blessings that come, especially thinking here about salvation, God's worthy of our praise, and he deserves that praise. Yet even within God's acceptance of this praise, we find that Noah has lived up to his name. Because of the way Noah's lived his life and he's followed God, he's found this salvation, now he's praising God. Well, God, Genesis 8 and verse 21, you notice what he said? "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake." The curse at this point seems to be taken care of now. Noah has lived up to the name concerning the curse on the ground, but, you know, Jared, like we talked about earlier, while that was important, that's not what was needed the most. And we find as you continue through the text, once you get into chapter 9, the reason Noah could only help take care of the curse on the ground is because he was not going to be the one who would crush the head of the serpent.
That's right. Tying all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there was still one yet to come. And regardless of what great work Noah was able to accomplish here, now it's all done by the hand of God, Noah never was the one who was going to bring about salvation for the entire world. That ultimately, yes, being Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, one thing about Noah, you think about everything that we've talked about and what great things, what good things he was able to accomplish because of his obedience to God and following his instruction to the T.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the latter part of the narrative, when you read about Noah, there's one hiccup along the way. And just as much as we drove points about how our actions can benefit those who follow after us and how they can guide them in the paths of righteousness, well, just the same, our shortcomings may lead to our family's fall just the same.
Yeah, and it's a scary reality that we all have to honestly consider. I mean, you look at this account of Noah, and it's like everything is great. Mm-hmm. You know, Noah's way up here, and then suddenly we reach the end of Genesis 9, and now we're kind of way down at the bottom. You know, like we said, Noah, while he was a savior in a certain sense for his family, he's not the savior for mankind. He's not the Messiah. He's not Jesus Christ. You look in Genesis 9, beginning in verse 20, and the Bible tells us that Noah began to be a farmer. He planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Of course, plenty could be said concerning this specific situation. But first and foremost, we can realize that Noah never should have been placing his sons, himself, anyone in his family in this situation in the first place.
Absolutely right. You know, and like you said, all the good that had been done, one choice in this moment, and then look at the great impact it has in the negative sense, right? The things he did, yes, we read about it. There were, you know, these amazing things that he was able to do in his faith and his following God. And all it took was this one moment,
mm-hmm.
one mistake. And look what a great impact it has in the opposite direction, you know, even on his sons.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, to think about how it's noted specifically there in verse 22 that Ham, the father of Canaan, is the one who saw the nakedness of his father. And you know, different people say different things concerning what all that entailed, but it's clear from the context, whatever it was not a good and a righteous thing. And then when you come down to verse 25, after Noah has more or less recovered from his drunkenness, he's kind of over the hangover now, he says in verse 25, "Cursed be Canaan." It's interesting to think he doesn't say this specifically to Ham, but he's saying to Ham, because of now what you have done on top of what I have done, well, the future generations in your specific family now are going to suffer for it.
That's right. You know, just sitting here thinking about this, Noah is a man who helped lift a curse, but as well who helped establish another, mm-hmm. in a sense, right? And, you know, like you say, this moment of drunkenness, like the text reads, it passes out, he's uncovered, and it gives this opportunity for one of his sons to make a mistake. And now, just like you stated, this entire nation, right, this lineage following him now is going to have this curse, if you will,
yeah.
on them. And I've never really looked at it in that sense, as he is one who kind of lifted a curse and then
yeah.
created one.
Well, and you think, too, I mean, this is the first sin that we see after God has just, you know, destroyed all wickedness from the earth. God was sorrowed and grieved because of all the evil before the flood. Now all this has taken place by a righteous man to come through the flood with his family. And you know, maybe now the thought is, we're going to be able to get back to a pre-Genesis 3 state. You know, maybe the thought is, well, now that the earth has been rid of that wickedness and that evil and that sin, that now we can move forward and progress. But the problem is, sin is just going to continue to perpetuate until the ultimate Messiah would come.
Right, and I was just sitting here thinking, it continues to point to the fact that there is one that has to come, one that is still yet to come, a Savior, ultimately to provide the answer for this curse that plagues the entire world, sin, right? So, you know, so many things that can be said about Noah, and we probably didn't cover everything that could be said. There's a lot more that could be discussed on him, but I think there are many valuable lessons that we were able to discuss in our time here. And, you know, again, it's always good to come and to look at these individuals, you know, and always with an eye of how am I living in comparison, right? You know, we have a responsibility to God regardless of the rest of the world. You know, part of what my responsibility is to look out into this world and say, you know what, no, I'm not going to conform to that. I know what God's instruction is for me, and I'm going to strive every single day to the best of my ability to live up to that standard.
Yeah, and to know that is a possibility. It can be hard and challenging at times to think, and we can convince ourselves that at times that it's just not possible to do. But we can see through the life of Noah, righteousness is possible. Finding favor in God's eyes is possible. That pure obedience is possible. But like something you brought up earlier in the show, it's not going to happen by chance. It's only going to happen by choice.
That's right. And I think that's a really good point, probably to end this session on, or this episode. You have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. Each one of us, each and every day of our lives, choose to follow God, and he will see, you know, our efforts, and we'll be pleased with our efforts to do his work here on this earth. So thankful for you listening in. All of those who are listening, we appreciate you. We're grateful for this opportunity. This is That You May Grow. We're grateful again. Thank you. And we will move forward from here. I think our next name that we're going to discuss is Abraham.
Mm-hmm. So that may take us a little bit longer to get ready for. There's more on Abraham than we've seen on any of these others up to this point.
That's right. There's a whole lot that could be said about Abraham. So we look forward to that episode, and thank you all. And until next time, this is That You May Grow.